This
is After Sunday.
Thank you all. I'm Alex. Along with me today is
Sky.
On this very chilly January day. Today we're starting with the concept that Craig has laid out for us on revival. That is our theme for the year. Today, in particular, we're talking about revival of the body. And if we could start by reading, let's just read the verse that kind of sums up the whole thing here. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 38 and go to 30. They're at the very end of the chapter.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And if I could start with a question that Craig kind of laid out in class this morning, not so much in the sermon, but maybe in class. And what was the concept of my yoke is easy and my burden is light? What would that mean to you?
Well, someone who mentioned in class is that yoke is like you're attached to something. So if you're attached to something that's like really hard, then that's going to be a lot harder to carry with you and to go about your daily life. But if you have a way to cope with that and to walk through it with God, then it's going to be a lot easier to manage. And someone else mentioned that, you know, God never gives us more than we can handle. So,
and that is comforting to not mm-hmm. be put on us anything that we can't handle. And yeah. and I know absolutely nothing about farming. I don't know what a yoke is. I think you attach it to a mule or donkey or something like mm-hmm. that. But, you know, in today's world, what would your yoke being light or the burden be easy? What does that look like to us in the 21st century here as we kick off 2025?
I think the most common thing was just like stress of everyday life. Work, family, you know, family that are here, family that's not with us or anything like that. So just like all the daily stressors, and we get bogged down by it, and then we don't prioritize God or prayer. And so it becomes heavy for us, but doesn't have to be.
And, you know, when he was talking about the New Year's resolutions that people have, I think that that's the primary concern. We get busy mm-hmm. with stuff. We have jobs that are demanding. I have a child now. The people have multiple kids. I don't see how you do it, because I feel like we're drowning with just one sometimes. So, But you get busy, and all of the New Year's resolutions, I think Craig laid out the top three, being exercise more mm-hmm. was number one, lose weight, number two, and eat healthy. So it's all about being healthy or fit, but mm-hmm. nothing about prioritizing your time. And mm-hmm. I think that's interesting that doesn't make the top three in the list. And you would think that in today's world that would be part of it. But I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like with like these three most common is that very quickly people like will consume it in their everyday life. Like they won't do things with friends, so they have to get to the gym, or they can't have a cheat meal because they're trying to eat healthier. And so like even they're trying to do something good, there's always balance. So if you're putting all of your effort into these three things, then something is being neglected, whether you're trying to do good or whatever. But something is going to fall by the wayside.
My dad told me one time, everything has a cost. And that is, it's not just monetary, the things would cost. It's costing you your time. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know, I work in finance. And a guy named Warren Buffett, that's pretty well known just for
his
investment acumen over the years. But he said that the most valuable asset on earth is our time. Mm-hmm. We all spend it. We spend it at the same rate. And you can't buy more of it. You can't get back mm-hmm. what you spent. It's a very valuable asset, and that leads us to a quote, and I forgot who said this that Craig had earlier this morning, but he said, ruthlessly eliminate the aspect of hurry from your life. And I don't really know how do you eliminate hurry in the 21st century, in the day and age that we live, where you've got jobs, and it's not the 9 to 5 that you clock in. I mean, mm-hmm. I know running a business, you're tied to your email, you're tied to your phone.
Yes.
You're working all the time. Yeah. It doesn't really matter what you do. My sister's a nurse, nurse practitioner, and I go to her with health issues all the time. So she thinks I'm off on a Sunday when we meet for dinner, and it's like, no, hey, what's this on my arm? Or, hey, I had this coffee the other day. So
I think that's something that I'm still trying to figure out. I don't think there's one answer.
I think we all are.
Yeah. And something that was mentioned in the sermon is that Jesus told us to rest, including our bodies and our heart. As much as we like want to go, 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 you know, we have to spend time like just resting our mind, our heart, taking a minute to like pray, and like the email can wait, the going to the grocery store can wait most of the time. Because we can't do anything successfully if we have so much on our brain and we're just rushing, because like you're saying, we can't get time back.
That there's a concept on multitasking, and there's, I believe women do that better than men, and my wife will remind me of that. but you, when they've studied this in the past, you really, the mind can't multitask, right? Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of things going back and forth between each one, but the more of those that you add, the less good, less well, less efficiently you're mm-hmm. able to do all of those things.
And oh, yeah.
If you're trying to wash dishes and watch your kid, maybe you can balance those two things. But if you say, I'm trying to wash dishes, fix dinner, and watch my kid, then you get spread more thin.
Right.
And the more things you add on, the less efficiently you do that. And that is hard because we've got so many things to keep up with.
Yeah.
Like you said, the job, you're at the grocery store. Craig made the point that you always look for the line that's the
short
shortest
line.
Or the person mm-hmm. that you only see holding a couple of things. And I make the same mistake that apparently he does sometimes, and you get behind the person that wants to pay in pennies or they have 75 coupons or something like that, and you think, oh my goodness, how much longer? Yeah, how much longer am I going to be here? So it really is hard, but to be able to, I think prioritization probably yeah. plays a key factor in how you do go about an eliminating hurry.
Yeah.
And there's the thing he's mentioned before about if you take the large rocks and you start filling a jar, and then the medium-sized rocks and the small ones, you can fit all of the rocks in the jar. But if mm-hmm. you start with the small rocks and then you start adding the medium-sized and large ones, you can't fit all the large ones there at the end.
Right.
So maybe prioritization plays a factor in this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He also talked about technology. And, you know, a long time ago, they thought, well, this is going to help speed things along to where we have time for other things. But here in our culture, in the United States does have a culture of hard work and work ethic, and there's a lot of pros mm-hmm. to that. But sometimes we maybe abuse that, and that if you're not yes. busy and stressed, then you're not working hard enough. And I feel like that's maybe where we've gone. It's not freed up more time. It's just given you more time to add to the things that were already busy to start with.
Yeah, like we have a computer in our pocket at all times, and no matter if like we're on vacation, you turn your work email off or whatever, like there's still something tying you to it. And Craig mentioned like doom scrolling. Like I'm a person who does that often, and I hate to admit it, but.
And as a Gen Zer, what's doom scrolling?
Doom scrolling.
For us old yes. millennials. Yeah.
Yes. Doom scrolling has been you scroll on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, whatever your social media choice is. And you find yourself scrolling for hours and hours on end and don't realize how much time has passed. And that's something that I'm trying to do better on. Like the times that I'm doom scrolling, I could be reading the Bible, cleaning, whatever. And that, you know, takes away time. And I'm prioritizing social media over things that are way, way more important.
I think I've done the same thing in my life. It's maybe not doom scrolling, but it's, I think that I can go exercise and take a shower and go run an errand or something like that. And I say to myself, this will only take, you know, an
yes,
hour to get all these
I
things
do that
done.
Too.
And then by the time I'm halfway through it, it's like, well, I'm already at my hour and I've still got these other two or three things
mm-hmm.
to do. And then you look back and you say, well, did I need to do all of that that maybe wasn't productive to watch part of this football game or read the news or whatever's on your phone? And you say, man, I can't get that time back. What mm-hmm. was I doing for the last 3 hours?
Right.
So that is difficult. He also comes up with the concept here of love versus hurry and how they're in direct conflict with each other. It's hard mm-hmm. to love someone and to be in a hurry. And I do like this point because if I want to show Christian love to you, but I'm in a hurry, I'm thinking to myself, how do I do that?
Right.
And I'm not sure that I do.
Mm-hmm.
But because love, I think, requires sacrifice. And sacrifice often is time mm-hmm. and what you put into it. But
yeah.
I really like the point that he makes there on the love versus hurry kind of in conflict with each other.
Mm-hmm. He uses the word incompatible. And that really like got to me. Like they just, it's like oil and water. Like they do not mix. You can't have both at the same time.
He also goes through some of the sunset fatigue symptoms. And if I was kind of maybe trying to wrangle a little one during part of this, what would sunset fatigue mean?
He described it as, you know, we get home from work or whatever responsibility is, and the people, you know, in our life that are waiting for home at you, whether it be, you know, your spouse or your children, you are giving them your leftovers. Like you've spent most of your majority of your energy and your time at work, and you're just coming home and you're not giving 100%. And so they get your leftovers, which is, you know, very hard on that person. The person that you're devoted to should get the most out of you. So that's what he described as onset fatigue.
And I struggle with that as well. And we just started a new year. We're about to get into tax season in my business, and that's busy. And I know that after a busy day, you may come home or you log off your computer and you want to spend time with, in my case, my wife and my child, mm-hmm. and say, okay, what can we do that's fun? What can I do to bond with you? It's like, I'm so tired. I don't have a lot. In your job, I'm sure there's a lot of stressful situations that you see that you're emotionally just fatigued from. And what do you have to give to your friends and family after that? It is probably very difficult. He talks about, rushing for no reason at all, tension, and these are the symptoms of fatigue, mm-hmm. rushing for no reason at all, tension leading to sharp words. When you're stressed, you may say things that you regret. Mock races. I would love to ask Parker and Harrison and their sister over how those went. Mock races being trying to get the kids to do something.
Right.
Get ready for bed, get in the bath, you know, mm-hmm. so that you can go relax a little bit. The loss of gratitude and wonder, you know, when the world's just rushing by, it's hard to pay attention to what's important. And then self-destructive behavior. And I think that's something that you as a Gen Zer and maybe me as a millennial can see a little bit with the social media aspect that you just described and people probably physically affecting themselves with that type of behavior.
Yeah. And I think of like when he was mentioning that in the sermon, like social media, of course, is a really big one. But this like binge watching, I feel like that's a huge thing that kind of like got revived, especially like during the pandemic, just like sitting down, binging a season or two in a weekend. And that's just not healthy for anybody, but you know, it is self-destructive and there are things that you could prioritize doing instead. But.
And that's a great example. The pandemic gave us something that we hadn't had. It was a lot of time because you can't go to these social events and you can't go to birthdays and weddings and funerals, and you're at home for work probably more often than you were, some industries were. And we filled it with junk. We filled it with Tiger King and Netflix and things like that. And we didn't fill it with maybe the things that were important or should have been important to us.
Yeah.
We kind of get to the very last verses here. And if I could, I'll have you read the first one and I'll read the second one here.
Okay.
Mark 1, verses 32 through 39.
That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons.
And I think the important thing that we're going to hone in on here is he went out to, it says, a desolate place. Was that the words that were used there?
Yes.
And then Luke 5, 15 through 16 here. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And I think when we tell ourselves, here's what's important in our lives, and here's the things that we feel, here's the big rocks versus the medium rocks, the little rocks that we've seen the example of before. Even Jesus took time to recharge his battery. Mm-hmm. He went to a desolate place. And I think that's a point that Craig hit throughout the sermon today, and that is you have to take time to recharge your own battery. And maybe you could help close us out here with a few examples of how we could do that. How do we, in an age that so much comes at us so fast, how do we recharge our batteries today?
I think just taking time in prayer and the word, and, you know, making yourself do it. I mean, everyone's a little bit different, but whether, you know, listen to the Bible, like on your phone on the way to work, something like that, just setting aside time for God will, you know, set your day right, will end your day right, and just help us live in the moment. And we're not always trying to rush into the next thing.
I think you said the exact right thing. And earlier you talked about prioritizing it. And if you prioritize time, I think mm-hmm. if there's one thing we can take away from today, that's what we need to do for ourselves, maybe to kick off 2025.
Yes.
Any other closing thoughts that you have here?
No, I think we covered a good section of it.
I think we did. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, too.
Thank you all for joining us on our, again, premiere episode of After Sunday. We hope you'll join us again next week. Until then, God bless you.
Have a great week.
This is After Sunday.